So, the one way that I've understood this radak about how she has to be able to respond is based on a story of the chauffeur driver you may have heard of, right? So there was a guy that used to travel around the world, and he used to always say the same speech, but he was an amazing keynote speaker, and he didn't drive. He would, you know, be wearing his nice suit, and there was a chauffeur driver, and drive him all around the country. And the chauffeur driver would have to sit in the back and wait. You guys know this joke? So he was waiting in the back all the time. And of course, you know, he has to wait until this guy's done with his speech, which I've heard a million times. And I just sit in the back until he's done, and I drive to the next town. So it turned out one time this amazing speaker, just his voice was killing him. He was exhausted. He said, "Listen, you know my speech already. You've been hearing it 100 times, 1,000 times. You know what? We're basically the same size. Let me put on your uniform, and I'll sit in the back as a chauffeur, and you'll can put on my suit, and you'll stand up there, and you'll give the whole spiel, the whole speech." So the guy thought for a second, said, "Fine, no problem, I'll do it." So that night, he stood up there, and he was unbelievable. He was on fire. He gave the greatest speech. It was amazing. And everyone was so impressed, and the guy, of course, the real guy was sitting in the back, and it came time to stop, and all of a sudden someone sheepishly raised their hands and said, "Excuse me, I have a very important question." And he asked them a question, and the guy looked at him, and of course he didn't know the answer. He said, "Ugh, that's such an easy question, even my chauffeur driver can answer that for you." So that's the idea of this Isha Chachma, that the Radak is requiring that it's necessary to have someone that knows not just the basic information, but to be able to answer those types of questions and not have to rely on one chauffeur or driver. Anyway, so that's the Radak on the Pasuk Gimel. Okay, so with that said, let's continue. Let's see what happens with this conversation between David and this woman, which we don't even know her name, this Isha Chachama. So, Pasuk Dalet tells us, "V'tomer ha'isha hatakoit el hamelech." So it says that she began speaking to the king, which is pretty amazing. Apparently she didn't even need any appointment. She was just able to start speaking to him. But it's not so clear how much time went on. Right, it's possible that maybe there was a little waiting room. Who knows? But tipol al apeha arts of it tishtachvu. So this broken woman, even though she was doing quite fine, but in the appearance of things, she was so devastated that she fell upon her face, maybe also to show respect to the king. She bowed down. Vatomer, and she said, "Hoshia hamelech, king, save me." So, as you can see in this Pasuk Dalet, I underlined the word Vatomer, because for some reason it's twice. We don't find the king has said anything. It seemingly is a monologue, only her speaking, no dialogue here. So the question is, if that's the case, why does the Pasuk have to say Vatomer Ha'isha, and then again Vatomer Hoshia HaMelech? Why does it have to say that she spoke two times in the same Pasuk? Just say it one time. So if we turn first of all to the words of the Mesudas David, which is underlined in Pasuk Dalet, Vatomer Isha Bivo Lifnei HaMelech, and when she went in front of the king, Amar Betchila Masheroy Lomer Lahavi Lifnei HaMelech. The first thing that she said was very generic. She wasn't talking about herself, but rather she said the things that any person would begin to initiate a conversation with a king. Kimo, Yechi HaMelech, Vekadoma. That a person gives blessings to the king, such as the king should live long and prosper and things of that nature. Be'achar zeh nafal alapah. Then afterwards she fell on her face. So therefore she switched from a generic conversation or blessing. That was the first Vatomer, according to the Mesudas David. And then all of a sudden, after she did that, then she got more specific about her own plight, her own situation.
I find it hard to believe that a poor old, you know, mourning woman can just come to the king.
Oh. So therefore says the Radak. You're right, that's a proof that really you can't. Even the queen couldn't. Of course, that king was not a David HaMelech, right? Not on the same Madrega. But you're right. It's hard to believe.
In the English it says she
first.
Oh, so that's what the Radak is going to say. So let's look in the Radak.
That means that she spoke to the outer.
Right. Exactly. So if you look in the Radak, on Pasuk Dalet, the last line before it gets very wide, the Adoni of Yizal. Interesting. The Radak says, "My master, my father, Perusho came." The Radak's father's opinion is, "V'chivatomer harishon liyoshi hashar amr," which is exactly what you said. That the first thing she did, was she needed to speak to the people who were sitting at the gate, and of course, their purpose is to screen out as any phone call. You don't just even get a chance to speak to the person on the air. You have to first speak to their screener, and they think if you're okay, then they'll put you in. So it's the same thing. And she said, "To the king I wish to enter. I need to speak to the king." And they said to her, and they said, "No, it's not possible because there's so many people. If you can't just come up." And that's what the pasuk will say later on, that there are many people there, and that she was afraid of the people, because that's the reason why she made up the story, as we're going to see toward the end of her conversation with David. But the idea is that once she fell on her face and started saying Hoshea HaMelech, that drew the attention of the king. He saw that she was something really serious, that she was saying, "Save me, save me." So obviously, even though, like in an ER, you have a few people with some cuts and scrapes, but someone comes in bleeding all over the place, right? So they come first. So Hoshea HaMelech comes first. So therefore, she was able to get herself in to speak to the king in this way. Okay. So
she was smart.
She was Nisha Chachma. Right. That's also exactly what a woman who was maybe not a person who was not Nisha Chachma probably would have just sat there and waited, and then the king would have knew it was a lie, because if it was true, then she wouldn't have just sat around and waited. She would have been screaming, and as she did.
It's just very interesting, because it shows when you think of it, of David and Shlomo as well, that women who were not, the people were allowed to come into court to be judged or to complain to the king, even though looking like she did, obviously she did not smell well and she was not looking well, and she
right.
was.
Right.
To have allowed her to go in, however smart she was, say something about the king.
Right. Something
open.
An open door policy, right? On some level.
Even if it's limited.
Right, right.
The fact that she was able to come in the way she looked.
Absolutely, absolutely. To be able to stand in front of a king like that, absolutely. So, here we are. Pasuk Hey. Now, V'yomer la HaMelech. So finally, now that the king has got she got the king's attention. The king asked the question, "Malach, what is it to you? What's going on? What's wrong? Why are you screaming? What's a big problem over here?" But Tomer, and she said, "I'll tell you, king, what the problem is. Aval isha almana ani v'yomos isha." Aval is translated in the Mesudas Sion as "BeEmes." This is true. Isha almanani, I am a widow. I'm a woman whose husband has passed. Biyamasishi, my husband has died.
It's redundant.
So if you look in the English, which was also going to be in Masudas Dov, let's look in the English instead on page 289. It is common for a recently bereaved woman to dwell on the memory of her husband and to say that her current misfortune would not have happened if her husband were still alive, which basically, what this is meaning, as Mesudas David says, the last line on this page, "Gamze b'derech almana." This is the way of a person who's grieving. "Tikonin b'tachbil divrei yilota," that they continue to double and repeat their worries. So a person, you can't say, "Oh, why do you keep saying the same thing over and over that your husband died or whatever?" Obviously, you say it because it's in the forefront of your mind, and you're grieving. So it's not all about when it comes to real life that the Torah doesn't add an extra letter, doesn't add an extra word. But this is talking about her words. And it's real that a woman who is grieving or a person who is grieving would say things redundant or say things that they don't really, not thinking straight. And therefore, again, this shows her chokhmah, because here she is really giving a very clear picture that in fact she is in a veil, so that she keeps repeating things which seemingly are insignificant, unimportant. Exactly, right. That's right. And when I saw this Mesudas Sion, I thought of my Rosh Hashiva. Rabbi Zweig always, when it comes before Rosh Hashanah, asks the same question. And when you're in the same yeshiva for 9 years, you know what's coming. So he stopped calling on me after a while when it came to this question. He asks the question, when it comes to vidui, before we say Hashan Beganu, there is a line that says, Aval Anachnu Vavoseinu Chatanu. So he asks all the new guys, translate that sentence. And they're like, what? Aval, but, anachnu, we, avoseinu, and our fathers, chatanu, sin. He goes, no, that's not what it means. Aval means emes. Aval means yes. Which, and that's how the Mesudas Sion translates aval in this context as well. Okay? What did he do with that? I don't remember the rest of the vort, but I remember always waiting for him to call on me and say, ah, gotcha. But he never did after the first time when I messed up. Anyway, so aval means yes. Anyway, so let's move on to the next pasuk vav. And to your maidservant, referring to herself. So, tragedy has happened in my life. I no longer have a husband. So you're going to say, so do you have any other family? Yes, I have two children. I have two sons. But unfortunately, something very bad happened recently. Both of them were quarreling with one another in the field. Almost sounds similar to Cain and Hevel, which we saw a couple weeks ago. Ve'ein matzil b'neihem. There was no one to save in between them. And the Mesudas David basically just helps us out in the basic translation. Lo hoye b'neihem ish nochri lohatzil hamukam miad makehu. There was no strange person, no one at all, to be able to spare the hitter from the hiddi, or the other way around. Nachri, I think, probably just means an outsider. There was no one at all. Yeah, the Mesudas Sion translates Inyan Mariva. A riv is a quarrel between parties. So, and so this is one of them happening. So, okay, so what? So, sibling rivalry. We don't have here two brothers fighting. Why are you telling me this? Well, we have to read the rest of the pasuk. V'yaku ha'echad es ha'echad v'yom es oso. Unfortunately, it escalated to the point because there was no one to be able to intervene because there were just the two of them. They got so hot-headed that one, unfortunately, took the other's life. Can you imagine the devastation? I'm a widow. And I have two sons. Now one of my children, they turn against each other. We're hoping to come closer. Instead, now all of a sudden, they end up fighting with one another. Who knows, maybe they're fighting about Yerusha. Who knows what, maybe money. Doesn't matter. But they die. One of them killed the other. Okay, so at least you have one kid left. Yeah.
I'm just also surprised the terminology. The Yaku ha'echad et ha'achad. Don't they usually say the Yaku ha'echad et ha'sheni?
No.
Could be.
Another one.
One hit one. One hit the other.
Yeah, usually they say I
Maybe again, this is assuming that this is, well, again, if we're quoting her words, so we can't really question what is the correct way of saying it because this is a quote. So, I guess then you can ask, so why did Yoav tell her to say it this particular way? Okay. Now, as we're hearing these psukim, in the back of our minds, we have to remind ourselves that David is hearing this, and hopefully he'll eventually get the message of two people, two brothers, that also fought with one another. And unfortunately, one killed the other. Namely, in this situation, Avshalom. So that Avshalom killed his brother Amnon. So, what does this mother want? This is all she has left: is this murderer of a son. This son who is, there was no one around, so he's not on death row, but he certainly killed his brother. V'hine kama kol hamishpacha al shivchatecha. Can you imagine, King? My entire family is so outraged at this terrible behavior of my one surviving child that they're so upset at me that they're standing up, Yarmu, they're saying, Tini es makiachi, please give us your child that you are protecting, this murderer, because do you know what we want to do to him? And we say to ben nefesh okev asher harag v'nashmida gam es hayorish. So, they said, we want to take away his life. We want to kill him. After all, according to halacha, assuming that it was b'shogeg, it was different manslaughter, however, whichever category this falls in, so there's a concept of a gol hadah. We know that if you killed someone, you're chopping wood, and your blade flies off, and it inadvertently kills someone, you have to run to the Ari Miklat, you have to run to the city of refuge, and if you decide not to, so that person's relatives has the right to take your life. So therefore they're saying, well, he's not going to any city of refuge, he's just sitting around, he's being protected by you. This is ridiculous. We have a halachic right to take your child's life. However, v'nashmida gam es hayorish. Interesting that she throws in this sidebar over here that says that that what will end up happening is to take away and to destroy the yorish, the person who will inherit me. So, stopping just for a second in the middle of this pasuk, let's look at the Radak. The Radak says, again, the brilliant words that's coming out of her mouth. The Radak says, "Lavilti sum ishi gam asham b'sherit bnei hamishpacha." Okay, the family mischavanim. Their intention is shliyishar leishi sham lahashmid as a yorish. Their true intention is to remove every single relative of mine that I will know. I have no husband. I have no children. But guess what? I still have money in my my money market, and I have money in my save account. Kadeshi hu heim yorshim nichse bali. Their true intention is to chaparai, to get some money off me. Ki ein aleihem dinu mishpat l'hamisa. Because the truth is, this child does not deserve to be killed. Afal pi shaharag esachiv. Even though he did kill his brother. Ki lo hoyu shem edim. There are no witnesses, even though it's uncontested, everyone agrees, he knows that it happened, but there were no witnesses that actually saw this, as she testified, v'ein matzil b'neihem, there was no one around. K'mosh amar kasuv, v'ein matzil b'neihem. V'ein din b'nei masur lehem, el l'shamayim v'lo l'beisdin. They have no right to touch him, the beisdin has no right to sentence him to death, and the only person, the only way that any punishment should be given is only l'shamayim. Hashem will take care of this. This person, my son, made a mistake, but it's not your right to get involved. It's the Shemayim. Hashem will do so. V'im tomar heim goali hadam v'cham levavam. Maybe they're going to say, no, I'm a goal hadam, and my blood is boiling, I'm angry. So he says that that is really not the true intention, that your whole purpose is to kill him because you feel that you have a halachic right to do so. Skipping two lines. Elu ein levavim cham al zeh. They really don't care about this matter. They don't feel they have a halachic right. They're hiding behind Torah. They're hiding behind halacha. Aval kvanasam laharag. As Hayoresh, their only care is to kill this child. Kedei sheyirshu heim banachla v'ani esher b'lo ben. I should be left without a child so that when I die, then they'll inherit everything. That my child will get nothing. So it's interesting that what she's throwing in over here is that she's kind of making this claim that you shouldn't think of it that there's any right for them to kill. Even if maybe you think that there is some right, that's not their intention. They just want to be able to take all of my money. That's all they really care about. They're going to hide behind halacha, which they don't care about halacha, they don't care about Torah. All of a sudden they start caring about halacha because it's convenient for them. They just want to make some money. So therefore, she's saying, we cannot allow this child to be killed. Can't allow anything to happen to this child. I am a parent. I love my child. If my child did something wrong, it's not Basin's business. The only business it is in Shemayim. Hashem, after 120 years, will deal with it. So what she's saying is, David, your son Avshalom killed a man. It was also Ein Matzil B'nehem. There was no one around, right? There was no one around. It was done. So what are you going to do? Do you want to chase after your son to try to kill him? You know it's wrong. It's not the right thing to do. It's not exactly the same, this allegory. But the purpose of this whole story is to say that you should allow Hashem to deal with it and allow him to come back. We're still in the middle of the pasuk. Yeah.
I just want to backtrack a little bit on the Beis Din. She is saying that it's not the Beis Din's business. It is in God's hands.
There's
no witnesses.
There's no witnesses.
They can't go to Beis Din without a witness.
Because there was no witness.
In the city,
it's a witness.
Yeah, so Hashem will take care of it. Shemayim. You know, you're still going to be accountable to Shemayim, but if there's no witnesses, you have no right to take this person's life. Even if I admit to it, you're not allowed to it. Halachically, if I admit that I did something wrong, in on the Mesa Masatsuma Russia, you cannot make yourself into a Russia. We don't believe your testimony, halachically.
There's only one person anyway.
That's true also. They're saying, even if I say about myself, I'm telling you I murdered, we don't believe you. Certainly we don't believe you as an opinion that maybe the reason why you're going to come to court is you're a depressed person and you'd love to die and kill yourself, but you're such gutless, so you do it for me. So I'm a murderer. So take my life. We don't believe you.
The beauty of this is, okay, your uncle is so shrewd. He sends a woman who looks like she's so pathetic. The way she speaks, she's not a wise woman. She's not an educated woman. She repeats herself. The way right. She talks to him, and then she begins to peel her things, and there's depth.
Right.
But it's too late for him to send her away or to not listen to her.
That's right.
Now he has to listen to her because.
And as we're gonna see, her wisdom will unfold even greater in David's eyes later.
Any other way, not have listened to her, and he would have probably...
She would have been at the bottom of the line, at the end of the line.
Have touched at the cord that she's touched.
Right, that's right. So we don't know what his response is. Let's at least finish this pasuk. V'kibu es gechalti, very interesting, a poetic form, so that it'll be extinguished my coal, the last thing that gives me light, the last thing that gives me warmth, last thing that I have any connection to. You're going to have that last thing, the only thing that gives me happiness in my life. That should be extinguished. Ashenishar, that which is remaining. Levilti, sim, leishi, shame. And it will end up happening. So, what will happen to my husband's good name? There will be no one to carry over my husband's good name. Usheris al pnei hadama. There will not be a remnant on the face of the earth. There will be no way that my husband was such a good man. Unfortunately, he died. She didn't get into how he died. She was a widow. She loved her husband. And now, unfortunately, she's going to have no children to be able to carry over this name. And it's not right that this child should be harmed in any way, especially that there's no witnesses, there's no one around. And therefore, for that reason, you, king, as she's going to say, allow this child to come back and to tell those people, leave him alone. You cannot touch him or else you're going to get in trouble. So therefore, hopefully, he'll get the message, double get the message, that it's also really a reflection on himself, that hopefully he will then realize that as much as Avshalom made a mistake, he should allow him to come back into his life and allow Hashem to be involved and to be the judge and not himself.